The point I want to drive home is that God has infinite attention for each one of us. You're as much alone with him as if you were the only thing he ever created. When Christ died, he died for you individually, just as much as if you'd been the only one in the world. Our real selves are waiting for us in him.
Well, good morning and welcome to Northridge. Thanks for being here. If you're a guest, a special welcome to this Northridge family. And we are a ministry that meets in more than one location. So you who are here in Plymouth, where we broadcast our talks, welcome, but also to Northridge Grosse Isle and Northridge Brighton. So glad that you're gathered with us. And we have people all around the world that connect with our ministry. It's exciting to be a part of a church like that. But before we get into this talk on Rooted Plus, of going deeper in our relationship with Jesus, would you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you so much for this moment in time that each and every one of us, wherever we are in the world connecting with this conversation right now, have set aside this time so that we could focus on you. And I just ask that you would bring clarity to us from your truth that can change our lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, whether we recognize it or not, the example of other people's lives is a powerful catalyst in our own lives. In fact, the way other people live when we give them influence over us, when we look to them, helps to shape how we see and ultimately live our lives. So this statement, which I think is something that we need to understand, there is profoundly powerful influence in example. There is profound power in example. Just this last week, I had a conversation with one of our staff leads here, and she had no clue about what my talk was going to be about, but it played perfectly into this conversation we're having. She was talking about the area of finances in her life and talking about how she had to recover as an adult, she and her husband, from brokenness in how they lived financially. They were imprisoned with debt. They had learned all the wrong principles and made all the wrong choices as it relates to finances, and as they were trying to redeem their lives, reshape their lives, they had to turn to God's principles and learn about how to handle money so they'd no longer be imprisoned by it. God's truth helps set us free. And then she made this statement. She says, you know, I wish that I had been given in my family setting as a young woman the example of how to handle finances. It could have saved us so much devastation and difficulty. I wish I had learned the right patterns in my family. And I know there are a lot of people like this in the world. One of the weird things is that parents so often either themselves have never had the right pattern set and don't know how to handle finances, or they don't think about the importance that that particular issue plays in their parenting of their children. It's a really big deal. I, for some reason, was given the privilege of having a dad and a mom who really did set a positive pattern in the area of finances. And it's odd that they did, because my dad was raised in absolute abject poverty. I mean, the worst kind of poverty. His dad was a raging alcoholic. His mom was an extremely dysfunctional human being. My dad had many siblings. He was the oldest son, and as a little kid, had to start providing influence and direction for the other siblings in his family, literally going to work to help supply their needs because his parents were so messed up. They didn't believe in an educational environment, along with having to suffer when he was a little kid through TB and a year put away in a TB hospital, and then another year because of polio when he was 17. He ultimately put himself through high school, he put himself through college, he put himself through grad school, and he ultimately put himself through law school, all the while trying to support his family and his new family, his new wife and the kids he started having. And He was able to do this without going into debt. He lived on his means. He just learned how to do it. And then he decided he would set the pattern for his kids. Not only did he live correctly as it relates to finances, but he also kind of expressed it to us. And he didn't do it like, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. He did it by the way he lived. He ultimately became a fairly successful guy, had some money, could have bought us anything he wanted to buy us as kids, but he didn't. Look at, when you set the pattern that you'll give your kids whatever they want if you can afford it, you're teaching them the wrong lessons in this world, and he wouldn't do it. So I'd come to him and I'd say, I want something. He'd say, great, what are you going to do to earn it? And I'd say, you know, some weird teenage things in my mind about my dad, and then I'd have to come up with some ways to earn it. Now, the good news is, once I started working and trying to earn things that I wanted, then he would come alongside and say, hey, since you invested so long against this, I'm going to come in and help you get to the end line on this. And he'd partner with us, like good things happen to those who really invest themselves and go forward. I'm not going to just hand out things to you like this world seems to think the government and other people should do to us. But if you're willing to invest against it, I'll come alongside and partner with you. And I learned that. And then he wanted to teach us about saving. We live in a world where so few people save. We live in a world where, man, if another credit card will come along, we'll just spend to the end of that sucker and go on down the road. But he wanted to teach us how to save. And so he said, and this was crazy, he said, I will, for every dollar that you put in the savings account for the long term, not for just some toy you want, but every dollar you put in your savings account for the long term, I will match that dollar. So for every dollar you save, you get two. And I went, I'm in. And so I started saving money, and he started doubling it in the bank account. Little did I know that that savings account was going to go to pay my education, which really saved him 50% on my college. You know, it's like he manipulated me to the last degree. But here's the thing. He taught us this. And Roxanne and I, in the first 20 years of our adult married lives in ministry, were at or below the poverty line. And we never were ruled by debt, because there is profound power in example. And we had had that example set for us in the real world, and it changed us. So many haven't had that example. Whether you recognize it or not, the example of others is a powerful catalyst in your life. It shapes how you see the world. It shapes how you live in this world. And it has profound power for good and for bad. And just so you know, this isn't just anecdotal from my life. It's not just the experience of my life and my insight as a human being. It's what God says. There's profound power in example for good. Look at Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become what? I know it's the morning, it's early, and I'm really proud. So many of you here so early Sunday morning, you must have a golf date later on or something, but here's the thing. I want you to be engaged in this conversation, so I'm gonna do this again. Walk with the wise and become wise. There's profound power in example for good, but it doesn't stop with the good. There's profound power in example for bad. Because Proverbs 13:20 continues, yes, it's true, if you choose to walk with the wise, that powerful influence leads you to become wise. It's also true that a companion of fools, when you choose to walk with fools, you'll suffer harm. 1 Corinthians 15:33, I think, really puts it in stark clarity. Do not be misled. Don't think that you can escape from the profoundly powerful influence of example. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You take the best of our kids and put them in an environment where the worst of their age group is expressed as if it was a value, and it is going to corrupt them. There's profound power in example. And so though we can't take them out of the world, we have to make sure we're counteracting the natural influences they have in this world, which are leading them to become fools. We have to counteract that by saying, I have to be, and I have to introduce them to, more profoundly powerful examples for good, or they will go the wrong way. But what we do is we just go, hey man, my life's too busy, tyranny of the urgent, and we forget about it, and it leads to the bad. And it's not just with kids, it's with us. I have found that hanging out with pastors ruins my life, so I don't do it anymore, you know, that kind of thing. The profound power of example is there for good and for bad. So let me give you this truth, because a lot of people don't think about this. This is the world we live in. The truth is that God designed us to learn by example. It's how he designed us. It's how he's wired us up. It's not just standing in front of people and giving them words to say. Example is the more powerful influence, and when it matches the words, it explodes exponentially in power. But when a pastor or parents or a leader in any marketplace setting or a teacher thinks that just standing up and giving words is going to change people's lives, they're wrong. Live the life first, match the life with your words, and it will transform people's lives. It'll be a catalyst for life change. But if all you do is give them the words, they're not going to go anywhere with you. And if all you do is give them the example without the words, they won't know what to attach the example to. It takes both. God designed us to learn from example. Just one area, I've already mentioned it, is the area of parenting. We know there's natural influence with parents to kids. We know that. That's obvious. It's how God wired up the whole system of how we learn and work as people. But look what he says to parents in Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 9. He says, parents, this is the number one priority of your life. This is the number one thing. Not that you're a successful business person, not that you're the smartest person in the world, not that you're the greatest friend to your kids in the world, but this is the greatest priority. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. The greatest responsibility for a parent who wants their kids to experience the best in this world is to make their first priority to love God, to make it a part of their being, to where it's not just things they believe, but it's who they become. It's on your heart. And then God says, when you're living out that example, impress these truths, the love for God and his truths, in the life of your children. And here's how you do it. You talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. They're a part of your everyday life. They're the pattern of your life, and so you talk about them in everything you do. It's not a once a week, or if we're honest, once in every 3 week when life opens up the opportunity to be a part of a church setting. It's an everyday reality in your life that you're going to talk about in the everyday realities of your life. And in so doing, you might have a chance of counteracting the dark influences of this world in the life of your children. That's what he's saying. There's profound power in example. And he said, don't just stop there. You need to tie them, that God's truth, your love for God, who you are in that way, you need to tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. A lot of people don't understand the symbolism here, but think about what we're saying. You need to make this a part of every aspect of your life because there's profound power in your example with your kids. What's it mean? Put them on your, bind them on your foreheads. What's the forehead represent? The center of how you think. Bind them in how you think in every single setting of your life. And what does it mean to bind them on your hands? This is where you act. This is the representation of your behavior. So in every way you think and in everything you do, make these the first reality of your life because there's profound power in example. And then he says, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I mean, make this the obvious center of your life. One of the things I'm so sad about in this society is that even the best of Christians often just tack Jesus on to part of their lives. And so kids see Jesus as a tack on and not the whole point. And here's what I believe. I believe many of us as parents want to give our kids the best. We look at the culture, we want to get them ahead, and so we give them everything. We give them the music lessons and the arts lessons and the little league baseball and the little league basketball and the little league football and the little league soccer. I don't know why we do that. This is America, but that's a whole other issue. We give them all these things, and if there's time, and usually there's not, we give them a little Jesus by taking them to church. No wonder they're not finding Jesus. I believe the greatest gift we can give to our kids, if we give them nothing else, is Jesus. And if you give them Jesus and only Jesus, they'll find their way in this world. But if you give them everything else, you won't. Stop making Jesus a subset of your life and make him the priority of your life and then the example of your life, not just with your kids, but with everyone, might make a difference in this world for eternity. There's profound power in example. God's designed us to learn by example. But here's the problem. I mean, we got to be honest with the problem. By nature, we human beings have all had the wrong examples in our lives. Every single one of us. By nature, we've all chosen to follow the wrong examples in our lives. Truth is, my parents were terrific parents. They really were. I've already told you about the financial pattern they set for us, which had profound impact in our lives. But my parents weren't perfect. And those examples in the places where they were less than perfect impacted me in life. There's power in that. And I've had to discover those places, and I've had to try and overcome those, and so view. But you know, too many of us simply blame our environmental experiences and the examples we were handed, and we make that the rationalization and the excuse to cover our continued bad behavior. But what God wants us to do is change who and what we follow. The Bible makes it clear that all of us have had and followed the wrong example. Romans 3:23, all of us have sinned. We've all gone contrary to God. We've all followed the wrong pattern. And because of that, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. There is not a human being that you will ever meet on this planet that will give you a perfect pattern for living. So this is why Jesus had to come, right? He had to come so that we could finally have the perfect pattern of what life is supposed to be. The reality is there aren't a lot of positive examples in this world, so we've had to choose a bunch of wrong examples. It's time we choose differently. Jesus came to set the perfect pattern. It's about time we decide to follow the perfect pattern. He's the truth. He's the way. So here's the application I want to... By the way, everybody's so quiet. Is this just like beating you up, or is you just need more coffee? Here's the application. If we want to experience God's best, and please don't pull away from that thought. You want to experience God's best. You long to experience life at its best. You long for more. This is why we try and fill ourselves up with so many things that don't fill us up. This is why we make some of the choices we make in this world. We literally are longing for God's best in our lives. If you long for the life and fulfillment that Jesus promised that we could have in him, then there are some things we need to do, given the fact that there's profound power in example, that God designed us to learn from example, and here's the first. You want to experience God's best? You need to intentionally choose to follow Jesus and his example. You need to intend. It doesn't come naturally. I talk to people, you know, do you know Jesus? You know God? Oh, yeah, I've known him all my life. No, you have not. Well, I was raised Catholic. I was raised Baptist. I was raised Methodist. I was raised Episcopalian. I was raised whatever at Northridge. So what? You can be raised in an environment and not a product of that environment at all. You have to make a choice to follow Jesus and his example, or you're not following Jesus and his example. Religion doesn't cut it. And so we need to intentionally choose to follow Jesus and his example. It needs to be the priority choice of our life because it's the only thing that gets us to the right place. We are living in a world that loves darkness over light. And the only way we'll ever overcome the profound power of that pattern is if we intentionally choose to follow Jesus, the light, instead of the darkness. You got to make the choice. And I'll give you two other ideas that really press in on this choice of following Jesus and his example. You need to follow Jesus as an example because only he can fully save us from our old way, from our wrong way. I've already said it. We've all chosen the wrong way. We've all chosen to follow the wrong examples. We've all had the wrong examples in our life. The only way to overcome that profound power and influence in our life is to choose to follow Jesus. Only he can save us from our old way. Ephesians 2, let me just let the Bible say it for me, starting with verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. See, sin separates us from God. He's the source of life. So without him, you can still be breathing, but not really living. That's where so many of us are. You were dead, every single one of us, dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live. This is how you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and you followed the ways of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, talking about the evil one. He's the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. I think he's in the Senate. I'm not sure. It could be. Got a couple thoughts about that, but I won't go there. All of us also lived among them at one time, and there's profound power and example. So when you live among them, the influence of their example is going to impact you. And so what you do is what they do. You gratify the cravings of your flesh. You follow the desires and thoughts of your natural heart. It takes you the wrong way. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of God's wrath. We were separated from God by nature because of this. But Christianity finds its power in that conjunction. But Jesus, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us who were dead because we were following the example of the world and the evil one, God made us alive with Christ. Even when we had been dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Only Jesus can save us from the old way, the wrong way. Only Jesus can take the guilt and shame away, because only Jesus replaced our bad behavior with perfect behavior and then paid the penalty for our bad behavior. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we don't follow him, we don't know salvation. He's the way. We need to intentionally choose to follow his example, to experience his salvation, to overcome our baggage. We need to intentionally choose to follow Jesus' example because only he can not just save us from our old way, but can show us the new way, the right way. There's profound power in example, but everywhere you look, you're going to find example that leads to bad. But when you look to Jesus, you finally find the example that can lead you to good. Only he can show us the new way. Look at Ephesians 4. I'll stay in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I'll just read out a couple of verses. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord. In fact, this is emphatic, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Stop living according to the influence of this world without God. That's what it's saying. You're still living, even though you claim Jesus, you sing Jesus, you lift your hands, you come to church, you're here, he's talking to the church of Ephesus. Even though you're doing that, you're still living according to the pattern of the world. You need to stop it. And this is happening here at Northridge as well. We've changed our language, we've changed our context, but we haven't changed the example we're following. And then he says, so he goes, and he says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life. It's wrong. It's messed up. So put off your old self, the way that's falling under the influence of the bad patterns of this world, being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And you were taught now in Jesus to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Attitude is a huge issue. And to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Only he can show us the new way. He can show us how to treat people, how to care about people, how to live, how to overcome the profound power of bad example that we have in this world. Only he can show us what real love is. Real love isn't loving ourselves so much that we treat others in such a way where they will love us back so we feel better about ourselves. We're living in a world where, if you love someone, you'll just go along with whatever they say so they'll love you back. That's not loving them, that's loving yourself. What we need to do is love like Jesus did, to the extent where we're willing for people to hate and reject us because we love them too much not to tell them the truth. That's love, and that's what he teaches us to do. I'm so tired of this, man. We gotta love people. Yes, we do, and it's about time love tells the truth, right? We've gotta do it. Jesus teaches us how to forgive and what forgiveness means and doesn't mean. He teaches us about generosity. Too many of us are so caught up in the profound power and influence of the example of our selfish, greedy world that we can't transition ourselves to becoming the generous people that are unselfish and compassionate like Jesus. And I can make it at the lowest possible level as a proof of this. The vast majority of people who claim to be Christians following Jesus, even the vast majority who attend Northridge Church, don't give a dime to God. Why? Because they're still following the example of the world. It's about me, greed, keeping what I have. I'll do anything but give my money. And it's like, you gotta be kidding me. You see, we've changed our language. We haven't changed who we're following. You can't follow Jesus without being generous. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be made rich." Generosity is the entire expression. How can we refuse to be generous in the name of Jesus? It's ridiculous. You see, there's profound power and example, and too many of us are still following the wrong example. Only he can fully show us the new right way. Are you following it or just talking about it? But this thing goes further. God wired us up and designed us to learn and be impacted by example. And if we're going to experience his best, we need to do it. So if we're going to experience his best, we need to intentionally choose positive examples to follow. Once we've chosen to follow Jesus as an example, then we need to look for other people whom are making that same choice and are ahead of us. We need to intentionally choose positive examples to follow. We need to intentionally choose people who are where we want to be, the kind of people we want to be. All of us have been exposed to the wrong influences. I talked about the staff lead who said, "I wished I'd had some pattern set in the area of finances in my home," and they weren't. But she's not, as an adult now, saying, can't do anything about that. You know what she did? She decided to choose different positive examples to follow to combat the negative examples she'd had growing up. And as a result, she and her husband have totally turned their world upside down for the good in the area of finances because they chose positive models to follow. We're living in a world where we excuse our bad behavior by blaming the influences of our past. Look, we might have some really bad influences in our past, and it might be horrific for sure, but when are we going to stop blaming the influences in the past and start taking responsibility to choose the right influences in the present so we can start going forward? When are we going to do that? You're not going to stand in front of Jesus someday and he's going to go, "You had bad parents, you didn't have a prayer." He's going to say, "Yep, you had really bad parents, but do you realize every year of your life, I put people in your world that could have transformed you in a positive way if you had chosen to follow them, but you decided to keep following the hurts and the bitterness of your past." If we're going to experience God's best, we've got to acknowledge it. Yep, had some bad influences, followed some wrong people, really has wired me in a weird way. But I'm going to start to choose differently. I'm going to choose to follow Jesus. Now I'm going to pick some positive people who can mentor me forward in this area. And I'm 60 years old, and I've been a pastor a long time. I have so many areas I still need to grow in, so I choose out people to follow who can impact me. A lot of times, it's people I have not met. There aren't many people in my life circumstance, and so a lot of times I haven't or can't meet them. And so what I do is I find ways that I can download their life. Books or blogs or discussions they've had out there so that I can grow. Are you doing that? 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And I love the clarification here. He didn't just say follow my example. He said follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You know what he's saying? If I get off target, stop following me in those areas. Follow me in those areas of my life where I'm following Christ. I want to give you some counsel, and this is really, really important. It took me a long time to learn this. It's possible to follow the right person in the wrong way. I have found that many of us attribute success in a person's life to all the wrong things. I know some pastors who learned from some other pastors who were very, very successful because in their heart they were sincere in their faith, they were genuine in their faith, but we're still flawed individuals, right? And so these pastors, very successful, still were driven by anger, they were harsh to people, they did all kinds of bad leadership things, and the people following them followed the bad examples of what God was using them through in spite of how bad those things were, instead of following the heart of the example and the sincerity of their faith. And they followed the wrong thing. We need to make sure we're following the right person and the right things in that person's life. It's really important. Look at Philippians 3:17, join together in following my example, Paul said, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, yeah, you can follow me as I follow Christ. Also, keep your eyes on all those who live as we do. God's put positive examples out there for you in every arena of life, in your spiritual life, in your marriage life, in your parenting life, in your workplace life. Stop following the wrong examples. If we're going to really experience God's best, once we choose to follow Jesus and his example, and once we intentionally choose to follow other positive examples that can lead us forward because there's profound power in example, then we need to intentionally choose to be a positive example in every context of life. Do you realize, since all of us have had and have chosen to follow the wrong examples, that means that all of us are in need of a positive example to follow. People are hungry for it and looking for it. It's one thing to follow a person who's at a great distance. I can't know most of you in a personal, individual way. You can't see my life lived up close. You know where my example has the greatest power. It's not with the thousands I get to speak to, it's with the people who get to see how I apply what I speak about in my everyday world. People need you to be a positive example in every sphere of your life. Yes, in your homes, yes, in your neighborhoods, but in your workplace settings, in your family settings, in every aspect of your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and verse 20 says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. I mean, God's made you new. The old is gone, you know, that which resulted from the powerful influence of the wrong pattern. The new is here, the impact of Jesus' profound example in your life. But now here's what you need to do. We are now, because he's transformed us through his example, we are now therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. What is an ambassador? Someone who represents in word and action the realities of his nation, his kingdom, or her nation, or her kingdom. And so God is saying that you need to become, you need to understand that when you follow me, you are an ambassador, you are an example of what it means to follow me, and it's as though God were making his appeal through us. So he says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Here's what you need to know. The majority of the world has dismissed Jesus, not because Jesus' truth isn't valid, but because those people who say they follow Jesus are proving it to be invalid. It is terrible. It's like, the greatest problem Christianity has are those of us who represent Christianity. We talk about Jesus giving life and life to the full, but we're proving that we don't have life and life to the full. We talk about Jesus' love, and we don't show love. We talk about forgiveness, and we're carrying bitterness and anger and malice in our heart. We talk about how we're supposed to do relationships, and we don't do those right. Why in the heck would they want a Jesus that produces products like us? And so what we need to realize is that we're representing God. We need to intentionally choose to be positive examples in every context of life. I do not have the privilege to be the angry people online, whether Democratic or Republican, attacking everybody in the world because politics isn't playing out like they want. I have to represent Jesus. I have to be bigger than this political moment. I have to be bigger than what's going on in our culture because people need Jesus more than they need the right president, Senate, or Supreme Court. I am tired of us surrendering to the patterns of the world that's messed up, and we're just adding to the mess. Isn't it about time we step out of the pattern and serve more like Jesus does in this world? That's what we need to do. I read the Facebook posts of some of the people in this church and go, what the crap? Tell people you go to a different church. Seriously. If we're going to be a positive example in every context of life, we have to live right. Our life has to represent the right things. I get really angry about some things in this world, but I'm not going to throw them down on Facebook because every word I write represents Jesus, but I'm not alone. Every word you write represents Jesus. How have you been representing him on Instagram lately? I don't care what side of the political divide you are on. I'm telling you what, Jesus doesn't agree with either of those sides. They're both messed up. It's about time we represent him. And then when we've got our life in order and when we're living this example, then you know what we can do? Then we can reach out and invite people to the Jesus who offers hope, not more darkness. This glory of Christmas thing I've been talking about, where you get to buy tickets and bring people in to discover hope. I mean, 30,000 people will be able to hear about the hope of Jesus. You want to invite them into that, that's true, but you want to make sure your life represents that hope. But when you feel like that's happening, then you can invite them in. And when you're leaving, you're going to get an invite card that talks about all the concerts and you're able to give to people. Roxanne and I use those to circle the dates that we still have tickets for and for them to contact us and do this. But just remember this. Our life has to be representative of that hope. Doesn't mean perfect. I'm not perfect. But representative of that hope. So here's how I want to end this talk, okay? I want to ask you, I think, the bigger question. Are you experiencing God's best right now in your life? I mean, God's best. And by that, I don't mean, are you rich and successful or are you poor? I'm talking about, are you experiencing life in its fullness? Contentment, peace, satisfaction. You're not missing things in your life. You're living God's best. If not, and I would imagine this is true of most of us, it's true of me, I'm not experiencing all of God's best in my life. I still have walls up that I need to have torn down. So I have to ask myself these next questions. All right, if you're not experiencing God's best in its totality, then it starts here. Have you intentionally chosen to follow Jesus and his example? Oh yeah, I'm attending Northridge. Look, attending Northridge means nothing. I'm glad you're here. I hope it influences you forward. But attending Northridge doesn't change your life. Choosing to follow Jesus changes your life. And that's all we're trying to encourage you to do to greater degrees every weekend. Have you intentionally chosen to follow Jesus and his example? That's the starting place. And right now, I know that he's knocking on a lot of your hearts right now. And you're going, oh, I've followed religion. I followed, I've tried this. I followed that. But man, Jesus, personally? Yeah, personally. This is your moment. He's standing at the door of your life knocking, and all you have to do is open the door. So before I finish this talk, I'm going to ask you if you'd bow with me in a word of prayer just for a moment. And if you're here and you're saying, whoa, I haven't really chosen to follow him, put my faith in him, follow his example, pray with me right now, would you, wherever you are, just in your heart, not out loud, in your heart, just say, Jesus, I right now am choosing to turn to you and follow you. I want your example to be my influence. And first, I just confess that I am sinful. I followed the wrong example. I've messed up. I'm guilty. So I'm putting my trust in your death on the cross to forgive me and your resurrection to give me new life. And I'm looking to you to save me and to show me the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed with me, I really would love to know. First of all, it's an encouragement to know when God's doing something in the life of someone. Second of all, I want to pray for you as well as our team. But third, we want to help you find the next step in your life. And we make it really easy. You don't have to have a pen and pencil. You don't have to get out paper and do all that stuff. All you have to do is take out your phone. We all have one, or we all know someone who has a better texting program than we do, and so we can use their phone. And you text to 313131, and the message is just Northridge, one word, Northridge. 313131 Northridge. And what we'll do is we'll connect with you about next steps that you can take, okay? All right, but if you've already followed Jesus and his example, but you're not experiencing his best in your life, then there's another question you have to ask that I have to perpetually ask in my life. Are you intentionally choosing positive examples to follow? When was the last time you chose a positive example to follow in an area of weakness in your life? Maybe it's finances and maybe it's generosity. I just haven't become generous. Find someone who has become generous and start following their example. Maybe it's parenting. Find someone who's positive in that further down the road than you and choose to follow their example. Spiritually, all these different things. I still choose out people to follow in areas they're strong and I'm weak in. It's life-changing. We all need it because it's how God wired us up. And finally, if you're not experiencing God's best right now, then here's the last question. Are you intentionally choosing to be a positive example in every context of life? Some of you are great parents, but not such great employees or employers. Well, that sucks, right? And so what we need to do is we need to decide, I'm going to be a positive example in every context of life. And it's weird how some of you are really positive in every arena of life, but then you get online and the devil comes out. What the heck? Can you imagine how different our world would be if every single one of us only used social media as a positive example for what it means to love like Jesus, to forgive like Jesus, to live like Jesus? I mean, that would change the world. Some of us are giving away our soul to attack what's going on politically today. Let me just tell you something. What's going on politically today will change tomorrow, but the need for Jesus remains constant. Why don't we represent Jesus? I've got a little bit of pissed off in me over this, but I think I'll move on. Here's the conclusion. Here's the conclusion. The way we live, is a catalyst for how other people choose to live. You're influencing other people. So, we need to make sure we're setting the right example. And it should start right here. If we make the choice to set the right example right here, ultimately our families will change, our church will change, our community will change, our state will change, our nation will change, thank God, and the world will change. That's what it means to have the hope of Jesus. Let's follow it. So glad that you're here. We'll see you next time.